Our scripture passage this morning is Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 1 through 23. If you would stand this morning for the reading of God's word. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus. They saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding with the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." He continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, anyone who understands this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that anything that enters into a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but it goes through their stomach and out their body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them, for it is from within. Out of a person's heart that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from outside, come from inside, and defile a person." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. During cold and flu season, we always try to avoid those tiny little things that we call germs. We have hand sanitizer that we have all over the place, and we use it all the time, cleaning our hands, trying to make sure that if we've touched anything that might have a cold virus on it, or the flu virus, or COVID, or anything else, that we might be able to avoid it. You see hand sanitizer everywhere nowadays. You walk into a mall, it's right there, so that as you opened the door, you might be able to clean your hands from any illness that might be on that doorknob, that if you go to the doctor, they probably have it sitting there right by the door too, or if you go shopping, sometimes it'll be in the grocery store as well. I know that Emma and I keep some hand sanitizer in our car, so after we're out and about somewhere, we can kind of clean up, or when you get home, you always wash your hands to try and avoid these cold and flu viruses in the wintertime. But as you know, that can only do so much. That a lot of these viruses that can be on surfaces, if somebody sneezed or coughed on it, those particles land on the table and we might touch it and we might get it that way because our hands are always on our face, or sometimes it's just in the air. It's hard to avoid, or there's those times where you let your guard down because you're with someone you know and you trust them that they haven't been anywhere. But all of those different interactions are our chances for these viruses to come into our bodies and infect us and make us ill. But what about if these illnesses, these sicknesses didn't come from outside of our bodies, but within? You see, the Pharisees thought of being clean and unclean a bit like we do of viruses today. That if you avoided certain things, that if you didn't touch it, then it wouldn't infect you and defile you and make you unclean. So they had all of these rules in place to try and make sure that they stayed ceremonially clean, that they didn't defile themselves or become sinful and couldn't enter the presence of God because of that. Well, imagine with me for a minute being on the Galilean countryside in one of those small little towns that Jesus would go to throughout his ministry. Jesus and his disciples are walking around a marketplace. The smell of fresh bread, fish just caught that morning in the air. People selling goods in the marketplace. People bustling around, just doing the business of the day that they always did. And Jesus and his disciples were there, people crowding around them. And as we've heard the last couple of weeks, it's been so busy around Jesus that the disciples really haven't had too much time to eat. It always seems like in these stories, people are gathered around Jesus so tight that it's hard for them to get a meal in. So as they're walking in this Galilean town, in this marketplace, they smell the fresh catch of that morning and then the bread. And being hungry, the disciples decide that, well, we're going to buy some bread and just eat it on our way as we're going to the next place that Jesus is going to teach and heal and do all that ministry that he's going to do. Well, in that marketplace, as the disciples were buying their bread, there were another group of people there watching Jesus and his disciples. Pharisees, teachers of the law who had come up from Jerusalem to try and see Jesus. They had heard of his preaching and teaching. They weren't quite sure what to think of him yet, but they didn't like him because these crowds gathered around him and listened to him, and his messages were different from what they had heard before, and they came up here to judge Jesus, maybe to catch him in a false teaching so that then they could write him off and say he's a heretic and he would go away. So the Pharisees, dressed in fine clothes, tassels touching their feet, stand back and watch as Jesus and his disciples go and buy some bread, and the disciples, being hungry, decide to eat it right there in the marketplace. They take it, they break it, they eat it. And the Pharisees in that moment, you can almost see a sly smile come across their face because they know that they just caught Jesus' disciples, the ones who he was teaching, breaking tradition. It was something that they could use to write Jesus off as a false teacher, and they'd finally be done with this Jesus person. So they go up to Jesus and his disciples as they were eating this bread with these defiled hands. They hadn't cleaned them yet. And it wasn't because their hands were dirty, but it was a ceremonial cleansing. You see, because in the marketplace, there were Gentiles, those who were unclean, those who weren't Jewish, those who hadn't gone through the steps to become clean in God's eyes. And if you touched one of those Gentiles, or maybe a Gentile was the one to make the bread, if you didn't wash your hands when you got home before you ate, then you would become unclean. Wasn't that this law was found in the Torah? But it was one of those rules, those traditions that the Pharisees had made to make sure that they didn't become defiled. So they walk up to Jesus. They ask him, "Why don't your disciples follow the traditions of the elders? Why do they eat with hands that are defiled?" Eager anticipation as they await Jesus' response to them. They think they've trapped him, that there's no way for him to get out of this. But in classic Jesus fashion, he doesn't address that directly. But he looks at them and says, "You hypocrites." And he quotes a passage from Isaiah. He says, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." I'm sure the Pharisees were taken aback as Jesus said that to them. They thought they had got Jesus, and now Jesus is calling them hypocrites, that they only do lip service to the law, and it's not really following it, that they've set aside God's commands for their own. That's not the message you want to hear as a Pharisee. They were taken aback from that. But Jesus doesn't leave them there. He then goes and says something even worse. You remember when Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother." Well, you've set aside that tradition for your own. Jesus said that if you were to honor your father and mother, you would give to them what they need as they grow older and can't care for themselves. But you've built this tradition around it, that if you give something to the temple, if you give it to God and call it Corban, that is something offered up to God, then you're no longer have to use that money to care for your parents. It was a loophole that they had created so that they didn't have to both give to the temple and give to their parents. It's kind of like cheating the tax code a little bit for them. That if you set aside this money for God, then because it was for God, you wouldn't have to necessarily care for your parents in the ways that you were supposed to and honor them. So they were putting their traditions above the laws of God. They were just paying lip service to it, but their hearts were away from it. It wasn't the outward actions that defiled them, but it was where their hearts were. It was a problem that was inside of them. This is the longest kind of back and forth that Jesus has with the Pharisees, and we don't really know how the Pharisees respond in this passage. They get that one opportunity to try and catch Jesus and his disciples as they were eating with these unwashed hands, as they were, quote unquote, defiling themselves by the elders' traditions. Jesus calls them hypocrites, uses the words of the prophet Isaiah to tell them that they're living as hypocrites, that they say one thing, but their hearts are in a different place. And he goes and shows them that by this loophole that they've created. He says that's only one of many loopholes you've created so that you can act one way, but your heart isn't really there. That you think defilement comes from the outside, but it actually comes from the heart. All of this can be a bit confusing for us 21st century people who aren't in the context of living as Jesus lived or as those around him lived. Maybe we're a bit like the disciples in that way, because the disciples were a bit confused about what Jesus was saying. This was kind of like radically new and different, that defilement didn't come from the outside things. It wasn't like a virus that if you touch it, then you're going to get ill and fall sick. But Jesus is saying it comes from within. So he has to use a little bit of bathroom humor with the disciples to help them understand how this all works. Because later on, as the disciples are alone with Jesus, they ask him, well, what was that all about with the Pharisees earlier as we were eating that bread? Jesus said, are you so dull? Come on, guys, you haven't gotten this yet. What you eat doesn't go to your heart, doesn't affect who you are. It just goes to your stomach and then you expel it. Doesn't affect who you are. But it's what comes from you that defiles you. That defilement doesn't come from outside actions, doesn't come from washing your hands ceremonially to be clean, but cleanliness comes first from the heart. If you have a heart that's inclined towards evil, set on all of those lists of sins that Jesus then goes on, if your heart is positioned that way, that's where defilement, sinfulness, unrighteousness comes from. It's not so much about the outward action, but it's the inward heart. The disciples probably had to think about that for a little bit. There was a whole change and shift in the ways that they were taught and understood how to become righteous in God's eyes. The entire Old Testament Torah was about how to become clean in the sight of God, and it was going through all these motions and actions so that you might be righteous in God's eyes. Now Jesus is saying all of those things, they don't really get at the heart of the issue. It's kind of like a doctor who only treats the symptoms of an illness but doesn't go after the root cause of it. Kind of like washing your hands when you're already sick. You're not going to avoid the virus by doing that. But Jesus wants to go after the root cause of it. That if defilement comes from the heart, then he has to deal with the heart, not the outward actions of someone. Disciples didn't know what that would take yet, but it would take a radical transformation. It would take a heart transplant for that to happen. It would take the washing and cleansing from the blood of Christ to be able to give us that heart that no longer is set on sinful things, but a heart that can follow God, can live in righteousness and goodness. The disciples didn't know it yet, but it would take Christ dying on the cross so that we might have this new transformed life in him, that no longer we would be defiled from the inside because our inside would be transformed by Christ Jesus. So what are signs of this new heart that we've been given in Christ Jesus? this new heart that we've been given, signs of it, that as followers of Christ, that we just don't go through the motions of it, like the Pharisees were just going through the motions of the law without having a heart that wanted to and longed to be in relationship with God, that now as Christians, transformed by the love and grace of Christ Jesus, by his death and resurrection, that we live in gratitude, that we live longing for this relationship with God, that we're excited to get up in the morning and give God the glory, and excited to dig into his word and to know more about him, that we're excited on Sunday morning to come into worship and praise him because of all the good gifts that he's given us this week, and we look forward to what we can do and serve and be for him. It's a whole life transformed by God's grace, that we can live lives not of hypocrisy like the Pharisees, that they only went through the motions, but their hearts were really still focused on themselves. But as Christians, through Christ's love and grace, he can transform our hearts so that they're no longer focused on ourselves, but turned outward and focused on Christ Jesus, about love for God and love for people. That in Christ Jesus, in his grace, that we can live as people who love and serve him. That out of the gratitude of this transformation that we've been given, that we can go and live and love as Jesus did. So today, I encourage you to hold tightly to the grace that Christ Jesus gives, to know that our hearts have been transformed because of what Jesus has done for us, to allow ourselves to focus on Christ, on loving him, and on serving those around us. It's kind of like going around this cold and flu season, knowing that you have immunity to all those illnesses around you. That because of Christ and his grace, this transforming work that he's done in us, that we no longer have to go around worrying about what will make us or defile us in his sight, because Christ Jesus has already taken care of all of that. That it's no longer those outward things around us that defile us, because God has transformed our hearts, our beings, so that sin no longer has a hold over us. The devil can't use the sins we commit to separate us from the love of God. It's a life of freedom in Christ Jesus, knowing that defilement is no longer something that we have to worry about, because Christ has paid that price on the cross. That we've been cleansed, we've been forgiven, we've been washed clean by the blood of Christ shed for us on the cross. It's like the ultimate vaccine, that we can walk in freedom, that we no longer have to worry. We have this freedom to live for Christ, a heart transformed to love God and love people. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you came to set us free free from human traditions, free from our sin and the weights that it holds. God, we're thankful that you were the physician that doesn't just treat our symptoms, but goes to the root cause of our sin. A heart that is set on ourselves, a heart that's set on adultery, immorality, all of that list of sins that you have in this passage. God, we're thankful that you were a physician that took that heart and transformed it and made it new in Christ Jesus, that by his death and resurrection, that we can live wholeheartedly and serve you, that we can love you, that we can turn our hearts away from us to you and to those around us. We thank you that we no longer have to worry about what defiles, because you have cleansed us once and for all by your death. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.